Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev.
How's your week been?
Yeah, not too bad. You?
I've been at war.
You've been at war?
Never. Never in the realms of human conflict.
You know what? That takes me back to the days of hospital radio and Croydon radio when you used to do Churchill's chart challenge.
Do you know what? I was going through some hard drives the other day and I came across the old Churchill's challenge.
Oh, the Triple C?
Yeah. Well, why don't we dig one out just for sort of old time's sake? And I've got them in front of me. That's really bizarre that you mentioned it.
Well, it's not that bizarre. You sort of wheeled out your famous Churchill impression quite early.
So, for people who don't know, this was a feature we used to do that was, it was a brilliant feature. It was superb that you had to guess the song from the song lyrics given in the style of Winston Churchill.
I was always terrible at it. And if you're digging this out from an archived hard drive from years ago, I mean, there's going to be nothing in the last 10 years worth of music for me to guess at.
Well, just try.
All right, I'll give it a go.
They weren't all like modern songs, were they? As far as I remember, they were all sort of from across the decades. I've got to try and find the answers, though. I'm sure I've got the answer somewhere. I'll play it to you anyway, and you see if you can work it out.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Let's have a go.
Now, I'm walking again to the beat of a drum, and I'm counting the steps to the door of your heart. Only the shadows ahead barely clearing the roof. Get to know the feeling of liberation and relief.
So there we are.
I'll be honest straight away. I've got no idea what the song is. But there's a touch of Boris in there, you know.
Well, he of course, Churchill, Boris's hero, so he would in some degree want to emulate the voice and vocal tones and delivery.
You were ahead of your time.
I was ahead of my time, wasn't I? Just to be honest.
Boris Churchill mashup. No, I've got no idea. I got distracted by how much it sounded like Boris, so I stopped sort of focusing.
But well, have a listen again. Pay attention. Come on. What if we're doing it? Let's do it seriously. So pay attention to the lyrics.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, I'm walking again to the beat of a drum, and I'm counting the steps to the door of your heart. Only the shadows ahead barely clearing the roof. Get to know the feeling of liberation and relief.
Honestly, I don't know.
I'll tell you what they were then.
Can I have a guess?
Go on, have a guess.
Is it a Queen song?
It's not a Queen song. No.
Okay, I don't know.
No. Would you like a little bit of another line, for example?
From the same song?
Perhaps so fun because
how much did you record? Did you do the whole lyrics to every song?
I'd have to do it live now. This would have to be a live rendition.
Oh, for a minute there, I thought you'd recorded like the entire lyrics to every song and just sort of listened back to it and picked out your favourite chunk.
It's what I do for fun. It's one of my hobbies. I just record myself the whole lyrics of songs, whole operas I've done.
Sure, then. Can you manage some more?
There is freedom. We did. There is freedom without. Try to catch a deluge in a paper cup. There's a battle ahead. Many battles are lost, but you will never see the end of the road while you're travelling with me.
I've honestly got no idea what that song is. I don't ring a single bell in my head, that.
Hey now. Don't dream. It's over.
Oh, well, I do know that song.
Crowded House, Don't Dream It's Over.
Yeah. Wow, that's quite obscure. I wonder how many people got that.
Well, I don't know. I can't remember. It was a good 10 years ago we were doing that.
How many more should we do from the archive before we move on?
Well, I've got loads.
I know you do. I think your hard drive's full of this shit.
Well, let's do one later on.
Okay. If the podcast starts to lull in interest, we'll chuck in a bit of Churchill's chart
challenge. Expect one in about 5 minutes. Maybe we should bring this back to the podcast. This could be a thing, a weekly thing, because I know how much you enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it, but I do note it was a feature that we weren't allowed to do when we were paid to be on the radio.
No,
it was more of a hobby horse.
It was interesting that when we joined the radio station, they said, "What ideas for features have you got?" And I said, "Well, my favourite is a feature." And they went, "No." No, not right for our audience.
Well, yeah,
we didn't have an audience.
Well, the target listenership was supposed to be tradesmen and builders, and you came to the table with, well, remember that defunct prime minister who's been dead for a long time? I could do quite a good impression of him reading lyrics. And probably to their credit, they sort of said, not really sure how that fits in with our audience trip, but you're trying.
It's a lyric game. I mean, you could do any voice. It doesn't really matter. I mean, I remember the guy who took over the breakfast show from us. He did it, song lyrics with, was it like a sat-nav voice? Do you remember where he did that?
Oh, the guy who took over from us?
Yeah.
To be honest, mate, I haven't listened to that radio station since the minute they sacked me.
We were there at the time. We had to go against each other to play the game. With him.
I've clearly wiped that from my memory then.
So, you know, basically same idea, just different sort of voice. So there was nothing wrong with the idea as far as I was concerned. But then by then we'd gone through managers like, you know, a dose of the shits, hadn't we?
It's amazing we lasted as long as we did. We sort of changed over in management about 8 times.
So anyway, we'll come back to Churchill's challenge later on.
Okay.
But anyway, I've been at war.
Oh, yes, that's how this started. Yes,
I've been at war.
Who are you at war with? Is it your neighbours again?
No, the mice are back.
Mate,
I can't believe it. My heart sank. I mean, I can still hear them in the walls. That hasn't bothered me, but I haven't seen one in the house for months and months and months. And then last week, I'm just sitting there in my living room, just enjoying myself, feeling very relaxed and chilled. And then what should run across the floor? A mouse under the sofa. And then it popped its little head out a couple of times. And I thought, you little bastard. And then all week, I've been at war with this mouse because I've been hearing it. I haven't seen it since that day, but I've been hearing it around the living room, chewing on something. Like, what is it eating? What is it chewing? What damage to the house is it doing? And yet you can't see the fucker. All you can hear is this scratchy little noise, and it moves around the front room. You can't quite place where this thing is. And then on Saturday night, I'm sitting there and I could hear it again, this fucking little creepy noise, and I thought, it sounds like it's in the footstool. I've got one of those footstools that you can store stuff in.
Okay.
So I gave it.
How would it have got in? How would it have lifted the lid?
Well, the lid's knackered, so it could get in. The lid is not actually attached to the bottom of the footstool.
Right.
And there's so much in the footstool that it doesn't actually sit, you know, tightly on top.
Right.
So I'm thinking it's in there. So I gave the thing a kick to see if it would jump out. There was nothing. Nothing.
I must admit, the other day I went to do my recycling bin, and as I opened it up to chuck some stuff in, I noticed some of the recycling looks awfully chewed up here.
Oh.
I don't remember it being put in the bin in this state. And then I looked up further and I saw a little mouse staring back at me. I mean, I'm a 6'5" grown man in my mid-30s. The sight of a mouse had me running like that woman from Tom and Jerry. Terrified, but in a non-racist way.
Yeah. I mean, you were wearing women's clothing.
My stockings were around my ankle. It was terrible.
No, but they're everywhere. They're everywhere, Ben. Nobody's taking this seriously at the moment, but there's a massive issue with mice. My parents have got them. My neighbours have got them. I heard my neighbour say to his missus the other day, "Oh, there's a mouse in the house." My parents' neighbours have got them. I even saw the other day at the local hospital, there was a mouse seen in the maternity ward.
Right. Now,
she had a little litter of 6, which was lovely.
Surely that's got to lose the hospital some points on hygiene and cleanliness.
You'd have thought so, but I mean, it's not the first time there's been mice at the hospital. And having been a volunteer at that hospital for over 20 years of my life, it's an old building. I mean, I don't know what you can do. If I can't keep them out of my house, I don't know how you keep them out of a hospital. Presumably they go through all the hoops they have to go through to try and keep them out. But they're persistent little arseholes, Ben.
Can I offer you what I would not as a silly bit for the podcast or a joke.
Yeah.
Hand on my heart, why don't you get a cat?
Well, I did think about getting a cat, but the only thing about the cat, and I thought about this, but you know what cats do?
Go on.
They might catch the mouse, but then they'll fucking bring it to you.
Do you know why they do that?
Because it's like a little gift, isn't it? It's like, no, aren't I a good boy?
What they do is they don't kill it all the way because they don't ever see you hunting.
No,
they just see you opening cans and they assume you don't know what to do. So they bring it to you as if to say, well, go on, look, finish it off.
Cats need to get with the fucking program. We don't need to hunt little things. Because my grandparents, they used to get mice in the house and their cat would bring them in from outside. We'd go and catch them outside and bring them in and then let them go in the bedroom. And then my grandparents would have to spend half the night looking for the little fucker to get rid. And that's the only thing about the cat. I don't want to be lying in bed and the cat comes up in the middle of the night and drops either a half dead or a dead mouse on the bed. So that was the thing that put me off the idea of the cat.
Maybe you could research what the sort of most efficient mouse dispatching breed of cat is.
There was a cat I saw once down my road who'd got a pigeon. I mean, that's quite a feat. So I reckon that whatever cat that was, I think it was a tabby. Maybe a tabby is the most ferocious hunter.
Is that like the sort of cat equivalent of trophy hunting? That's quite a large thing for a cat to bring down, isn't it?
I know, and it was like laying over it with a paw, like holding the thing down. I think it was dead at that point because it wasn't putting up a fight, put it that way. but that was quite a thing. I mean, it's a big bird.
Yeah, they are. I think there was some footage of Larry, the Downing Street cat, who once throttled a pigeon.
Wow.
As ruthless as his owner, that cat.
Because cats sometimes go for rats, but rats can fight back.
Yeah, rats are bastards.
Oh, and they can be as big as a cat.
I don't know about that. They can be pretty chunky, but I'm not sure.
Oh, I think they can.
I'm not sure as big as a cat. No, if you've got a kitten.
If you've got a smaller cat and a bigger rat, they're quite evenly matched, aren't they?
Large rat versus kitten. Who wins?
Well, let's not bring that up as sort of an idea. You know, there's like the new cockfighting. Kittens against rats and we all bet on it.
Get yourself a nice big cat.
Well, I did think about that, but I don't need one this week now, Ben, because I outfoxed the little fucker.
You brought a fox in?
Talking of foxes...
Oh, God.
Got a bone to pick. I'm assuming it's a fox.
Right.
I went because I was looking for... I knew I'd bought some more mouse traps and I couldn't find them. And I thought, I wonder if I'd put them in my little outside storage area. So I went out to have a look. I mean, it's either a cat or a fox, but why would it take a dump on top of that thing? Like, it's got a whole garden it can go and dump in, which it had done in the week because I went out to cut the grass and I was confronted by the mess.
I'd be surprised if that was a cat.
Because they normally they like to bury it, don't they?
They do. Well, I don't... I'll get into specifics with you off-air. Even I won't subject our listeners to this, but I can pretty confidently tell you if it's cat or fox.
If I sent a picture of it to you, would you have to tell me what animal it is?
I'll give you my best guess.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that, mate. I'm not going to send you a curly fox or cat turd.
Well, that was... But now you've done it now. Now you have got into the specifics. But I was going to say, if it's generally... traditionally shaped, it's more likely to be a cat. If it tends to be a sort of gloppy, circular puddle, then that's probably a fox.
Right, well, in this case, fox on the lawn. There's no... I call it a lawn. Fox on the what's left of the grass. That's for certain. But no, on top of the storage area, that must be cat.
Okay, well...
But, I mean, I'll give it 10 out of 10 for neatness. It's a perfectly shaped thing, but just bizarre. Why do it there?
Moving on. We were talking about the mice before we got onto
yes.
Cat.
So anyway, I mean, did anyone ever ask us about structure? Will we ever talk about structure?
No, I don't think sponsorship's going to happen anytime soon either.
So anyway, well, we might get something from some sort of mouse trap company that would be handy, or some cat litter company,
or the board game Mousetrap.
Mousetrap, yeah. I don't need any more mice in the house, fake or otherwise. Anyway, I hear it in the footstool thing, so I give the thing a kick. I think nothing comes out of it, right? And it's quite late at night. It's about 11:30. I thought, right, I'm giving up tonight. I'm going to go to bed. I can't be sitting in the room with this noise going on. It's just driving me insane. So next morning, I thought, I'm going to move the footstool out. I'm going to see what's behind, what's it. And behind the footstool is the little waste paper basket.
Right.
And something had fallen out of that, like a sweet wrapper. And that it had been chewing on that behind the footstool. Because, you know, you can tell how a mouse chews things.
Yes, yeah.
So I thought, oh, you're not going to the traps I've laid in the areas in which I've seen you. You're behind the footstool. So I'm not stupid. What I'm going to do is I'm not going to hoover this sweet wrapper up. I'm not going to tidy it up for now. But I shall lay a new trap next to it. Within less than 24 hours, it's dead, Ben.
Oh,
I worked it out. It was like I'd stalked it. I could imagine. Like, I hope this isn't like a gateway hunt. And eventually I'm like taking down rhinos. But, you know, I sort of feel I've got the buzz now. It's like, oh, I've got one.
I mean, there is quite a lot of work that went into this. You sort of did your sort of research, trying to locate it. Then you got your best suspicions. You sort of plotted out your course of action. Yeah. You laid your trap.
Yeah.
You nailed it, mate.
I know.
But while you were telling me that story, I was looking up alternative solutions for you.
Oh, yeah.
More humane.
It's no point in being... I'm past the point of being humane to these little bastards.
Well,
they,
I mean...
They have to die.
The methods I have will catch you an alive mouse. After that, you can do what you want with it, I suppose.
My mate, he didn't want to have the killing traps, right? So he got the humane traps, caught one in it, and as he went to go and release it, he sort of, like, jokingly... was shaking the trap, going, "Whoa, you get out!" Killed it. Yeah.
Why?
Well, he didn't mean to. He
How
was
just aggressively
sort of...
must he have been shaking that?
Well, I don't know more, but I mean, they're delicate, they're fairly. I mean, I say they're delicate; they seem pretty fucking resilient in many ways. But they obviously can't. A little shake can't take that. But then, if you catch them humane, you've got to drive them fucking miles away to release them. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm past. There's enough of them. It's not like they're an endangered species. I did think, though, this wasn't guilt I had. There was no guilt. I had no guilt about killing the mice, right? As long as it's what appears to be a fairly swift execution, then I'm happy. I don't want one, you know, like if it's not quite done the job and you have to finish it off. I mean, my dad's had to do that a few times. I happily haven't had that scenario yet. I had the one that was attached to the trap, but it wasn't particularly injured. And I did let that one go in the garden.
I remember some of the stories you've told me in the past. Your dad, he's got ninja feet. Is it Mr. Miyagi of mice killing?
Well, he had one in his house just the other day. Fairly small. It must have been tiny, little baby, which is a worry because it means that there's a fucking nest somewhere if baby ones are coming out.
Well, and you've definitely angered the mother now.
Well, there was something wrong with it. It was sort of fitting or something, he said, right? And it was so small he could get it in the spider catcher.
Right.
That's how small it was. And I don't know, I'm assuming he dispatched of it in a timely fashion.
Well, he doesn't win any points for finishing off a downed opponent, does he? I mean, you're not supposed... I mean, that's basic rules of UFC. You don't hit a downed opponent.
Right, okay.
Well, I mean, unless you're on the floor too, then you can have your way with them.
But I don't think UFC rules apply to catching mice.
They should.
What, you think they should? You should have, like, a referee.
Yeah, there's honour in fighting, I think.
Right, well, I got a clean kill on the mouse.
Right.
Now I've got to reset the trap because I don't know if there's more than one. I mean, I've had mice on and off now for 10 years. Frankly, I'm getting sick of it.
Well, as I say, I've been looking whilst you were recounting your sort of stalking method. Mm. By the way, you definitely need to get yourself some sort of hat when you're stalking.
Oh, I've got one of those with like corks on.
That'll do.
I wear that. I feel like it's like I'm the Ray Mears of the mouse world.
Right. I mean, that's not very impressive, but...
Mouse grills.
That sounds like you're having a tiny barbecue. Right. So, do you want to know some of the methods? You'll see a theme emerge, by the way.
Okay. Yeah.
This method number one is called. It's not called the old bucket and spoons, but it's called bucket and spoons. But I'm going to call it the old bucket and spoons method. So, one particularly clever solution requires only a large bucket, a spoon, and some peanut butter.
Well, peanut butter is what I put in the traps. I mean, it works a treat.
Right. So put a dab of peanut butter on the handle of a spoon and balance it off the end of a countertop with a bucket underneath it.
Right, yeah.
When the mouse runs out to get the peanut butter, it will fall into the bucket along with the spoon, and you've got a mouse and a bucket and a spoon, I guess.
Yeah, but then you've got to deal with the mouse then.
Well, like I said earlier on, once you've got it, it's yours to do what you want with. You could drown it probably, but I wouldn't drown it either, by the way, if animal rights people are listening, but I'm just saying it's an option.
It needs to be swift, and the only way really to do it is to whack it over the head, and I just don't feel that I could do that. I did see recently this thing, because don't they, in Australia they had the massive mice infestations in the farms and everything, and we're talking like millions. And did you see any of the videos?
I didn't know.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Like, people would lift up a bit of sort of just a bit of metal sheeting on the bottom of a barn, and thousands would just run out.
I mean,
there were millions and millions of mice. It was unbelievable. No matter how many they caught, it mattered not. Right, just so many. But I did see someone have this thing where they it was a bucket, and I forget what they did. They had like it was obviously like corn in it or grain in it, and they caught loads in a bucket because there were so many of them. And of course, once they're in the bucket, they can't get out.
Oh, clever!
And there was loads of them in a bucket, but you know, it's not going to make a bit of difference if you've got millions of the bastards running about.
Well, allow me to give you method number two. I found five handy methods here. This is method number two. But like I said, are they all
humane?
You might find a theme emerging.
Buckets. They're going to be bucket based.
This is the old bucket and cardboard tube method.
Right, okay. Let me guess. It's a bucket, peanut butter, and a cardboard tube.
It's basically exactly the same method as the bucket and spoon, but this is designed for people who don't like the idea of mice treading on their silverware. So you basically use the inside of a bog roll, hang that off the kitchen counter, put the bucket underneath, a little bit of peanut butter on the end of the tube.
Yeah.
Maybe weight it down with a couple of coins taped on the top so it doesn't just immediately fall off or it can't be rolled by the mouse. But basically, it's the same method as method one. Method three...
So hang on, I can't get in my head. So what happens? You're hanging the
It's the same as method one, but you're doing it with the insert of a toilet roll.
Right, so the toilet roll hangs across the top of the bucket.
No. Trev, this couldn't be simpler.
I don't get it.
You put half of the toilet paper balanced on the counter, the other half hanging over the counter above the bucket.
Right.
The over the bucket section has the toilet... The over the bucket section has the peanut butter.
It's not as easy as you said, is it?
That's because I'm getting so annoyed that you can't understand the most basic things. The over the bucket section of the toilet roll has the peanut butter on it.
Yeah.
So the moment the mouse approaches, it becomes off kilter, balance-wise, and it all plummets into the bucket.
I mean, the only thing I'd say... And so the spoon's the same. You hang the spoon off the counter.
I thought you'd understood this concept.
No, I thought like the spoon was over the top of the bucket. But no. Right. Because the only thing...
The bucket is merely underneath to catch everything that falls from the counter.
Well, this all seems a bit potluck to me. How do you know they're going to fall in the bucket?
Well, and it also does... All of these methods do depend on your mouse being on a kitchen counter as well.
Yeah, yeah. And it actually going where... No, I don't like... There's no certainty to these. I spend weeks on these. Okay.
Method number three.
Yeah.
The old bucket and soda bottle method.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean... Surely you got more than just... Let me guess. It's the same idea.
It is.
With a bowl.
Yeah.
You've given me one idea. That's all you've given me here.
I'm realising as I read the list, it isn't five different ideas. It's one idea that they're evolving ever so slightly with each step.
Yeah, because they're all so shit that each one fails. They have to think of something else. But the person who's come up with them is so stupid that they think, oh, try it with a bottle this time.
So,
the idea is ludicrous.
Don't want to keep resetting the trap. Try skewering a plastic bottle and positioning it over the bucket so when the mouse runs out to the end of the bottle, it'll spin on the skewer, drop into the bucket. There's a mouse in a bucket.
Right, well, that sounds a little bit more
what about the odd bucket and paper plate method?
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah.
Similarly, you can use a paper plate to make a repeating mousetrap. And that's as much information as they're willing to give me on how that method works.
By the way, I've just remembered, you know, I was telling you the bucket idea with those, the farmers.
Yes.
I'll tell you what it was now. I remember what it was. It was a bucket sort of half full with grain and then a balloon in the top, sort of on top of the grain, then sprinkle some grain around the balloon. And there's so many mice that go in, the balloon eventually pops because the little scratchy little claws, and then they just fall in to the bucket. And there's so many that are going round and round the edge of the bucket, they all just fall in.
Now, for all the bucket ideas, yeah, that sounds by far yeah, the most complex.
But probably the most successful. There's no counter needed. This is just wherever the mice, you take the bucket to the mice.
Well, okay, you didn't think I'd leave you stranded with all just kitchen countertop ideas,
did you? All right, now we've got one more, have we? This is number five.
This is the fifth one, where the guy who wrote this article has gone rogue because he's thrown his bucket away.
Oh, he's gone for a shotgun.
This is called the old glass and coin method.
The old glass and coin method.
Just put some peanut butter on the inside of a glass, so just imagine a glass the traditional way up.
Right. What size glass?
Well, this looks like a tumbler.
I mean, okay, well, I won't comment until I hear the strategy.
Smear some peanut butter on the base of the inside of a glass.
Yeah. Okay.
Turn it upside down and then prop a coin on one edge of the upturned glass so a mouse can sneak in underneath it.
Oh, this is right out of fucking Tom and Jerry, this is.
When the mouse then goes for the peanut butter, it'll surely agitate the coin or the glass, which will then agitate the coin, and the gravity of the glass will just fall, trapping the mouse inside the glass. You have to assume it's a fairly weak mouse who couldn't move a small glass from the inside. And you also have to assume, I'm guessing, that you move throughout your house floating.
Yes.
And your footsteps won't sort of offset a precisely balanced coin with a glass on top of it.
I mean, I can get that if a mouse is caught underneath the glass, I don't think they would get out. I don't think a mouse could dislodge itself from underneath the glass.
Wouldn't they just need to stand up inside the glass, push the top, and it falls over? And then they just reverse out.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think they're that strong.
The body weight of a mouse pressing the top of the inside of a small glass? I think they might be able to. It's not bulletproof.
No, it's not. I mean, the other thing I'd say is that you've then got to deal with it, you know, because it's like having a spider in a glass. You've got to slide something under it. That sounds like a whole palaver, to be honest. And also, you've got to be sure that it's going to dislodge the coin.
Yes, there's a chance it won't.
I mean, you've got to have that glass finely balanced on a coin.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to suggest you could maybe weight down, you know, you could stick a yellow pages on top of the glass on top of the coin. I mean, you're really putting your faith in that coin at that point.
Yeah.
At least when the whole thing comes down, it would weight the glass down so the mouse couldn't escape. But then also I was thinking, the moment this trap falls, it becomes airtight, doesn't it?
Probably would, yeah.
Which is fiendish. It's a horrible way to go.
Yeah, I mean,
that goes against your wishes of a swift death. That's a slow lack of oxygen. That's horrible. Suffocating.
I mean, I suppose it would be a lesson for the others. Because you think that they would see how the others sort of respond. Because I did think that about the mouse I caught, although there was no guilt, and obviously a mouse trap works incredibly fast. But you know, like in like films, when somebody sets off a booby trap,
yeah,
there's like that moment of realisation that they've stood on the button or they've done whatever to trigger. Do you think there's a moment where the mouse goes, oh, look at that, oh, I do the mouse voice, oh, look at this peanut butter, I like a bit of peanut butter, I'm going to go get the peanut, oh, shit. Or do you think they just no awareness of it at all?
I don't know. I would hope that they, I mean, like you, I would hope that there was very little awareness and maybe they just thought, oh, I'm getting a bit dizzy as I lose oxygen, and they just gently fall asleep. But I think they'd probably be more of a desperate scramble as they're gasping for oxygen, which is quite disturbing.
Yeah, probably best not to think about that.
Trap Trevor, I mentioned to you I wasn't having the greatest of weeks, and it's only Monday as we record this.
Yes, yes, it is only Monday, and that seems a long time ago. I'd forgotten that you weren't having a great week, yeah. By the way, can I just tell you that I saw a thing this week that Brits on average have 84 bad days a year.
I have, I think, 84 bad days a week. That's certainly what it feels like to me. Now, this fucking pissed me off before minutes before we started recording this podcast. I was downstairs desperately trying to find something to talk about on the podcast. I thought, I'll take a little break. I'll scroll through some TikToks.
Right.
And I see one of a little known trick that applies to your washing machine.
Oh.
Now, someone on this TikTok video, yes, I'm a man in my 30s looking at TikTok. I don't care. Someone revealed that they only just learned in their 30s that your washing machine has a small sort of catch on the bottom right-hand side of it.
Yes.
Right in the corner.
Yes.
And you open this thing up and there's like a little hose thing which you can sort of, the best way I could describe it is to sort of bleed the washing machine.
Right, yes.
And you're supposed to do this to prevent it breaking down. You're supposed to do it every 6 months.
Well, I've had my washing machine about 10 years. I know it's there. I've never done it.
You've never done it?
Never done it, no.
Well, that's slightly encouraging then. But then I went to mine to sort of think, oh, I wonder if mine does that, because it's been about 6 months since we had the kitchen, you know, installed at great cost by someone I don't like anymore. And I realised that because it's a built-in sort of integrated washing machine into the unit thing.
Yeah.
I cannot tell for one if my washing machine has this thing, because it's behind, I don't know, what do you call it, the kickboard? It's behind that thing.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
And then I thought, well, you know, maybe if I just shuffle it back a bit, I can get eyes on it to see.
You've gone in all cock-handed here, haven't you?
I'll just edge the washing machine back a little bit.
Oh, yeah, just edge it a little bit, yeah, yeah.
Because it's currently entombed within my kitchen. Now, if this thing breaks down, I'm not sure how I'm going to get it out without sort of disassembling the kitchen at this point now, which had me annoyed. And then I thought, hang on a minute, I'm not a weak man, right? I'm not the by the way, I'm not Eddie Hall. I'm not the world's strongest man either. But I'm certainly no wimp. I can move a bit of weight, right?
Yeah.
So I tried to push this back a bit, just to get eyes on if my thing has this little hatch. It wouldn't budge at all. And I thought, what is going on here? So I've just sent you a picture, Trev.
Right.
Now, the hinges on the cupboard, which open up, the cupboard door to reveal
I've got it now, yeah.
They reveal the washing machine, where it is.
Yeah.
Am I losing my mind? Has this bastard screwed the hinges of the cupboard door directly into the face of the washing machine?
Well, that's certainly how it looks, Ben, yes.
What the fuck has he done that
is
for?
Is that normal?
No!
I don't know, I mean, maybe
my
that's...
My cupboard door is attached to the face of the washing machine.
Which means he must have drilled it, unless the washing machine has specific holes for
that. He has
that.
Drilled into the face of a washing machine.
Well, no, unless that's what I mean. Unless it's like you can buy washing machines that are specifically made for doors to attach to them. I mean, I've never seen them.
I don't believe that's what this is. I think he's a fucking con man.
I'm going to look up the...
legal reasons, I can't... Now I've called him a fucking con man. I can't actually tell you his name because I don't want to go to court.
No, but I wouldn't.
Charlatan, man. I'm so annoyed. Every time I spend more than 2 minutes in that kitchen, I find something else that this arsehole... I nearly said the category C swear word there, but I'm restraining myself. This arsehole has botched something else, I swear. Everywhere I look.
Well, let me just tell you this. Let me just tell you this, Ben.
Oh, don't make me backpedal now. It looks like crap, doesn't it?
No, Ben. Ben, I'm sorry to tell you, but what you've looks like you've got is what it seems to be called an integrated washing machine. There's lots of them. I've gone to Google Images, and they all have the doors attached to them.
Really?
Yes.
How are you supposed to... So you're supposed to disassemble everything to get these things out when they break down. And I can't even let my washing machine have a pee now, because it's entombed stuck forever.
No, but there must be a way to do that. Like, the little board that's in front of it, does that not flap down in any way at all to give you access? There must be a way you can get access. Surely, and we've already proved that this builder isn't as bad as you were making out.
Fine. Well, if you're telling me that's a normal thing, I feel slightly better.
So there must be a way that you can. Like no, there must be a way you can access it. They would have built in, if it's an integrated washing machine, there would have built in ways for access, because they're going to. It's going to be there, Ben. You've just got to work out how that flap comes. There'll be a little flap or something.
No, you comes there. No, listen.
Perhaps
to me.
You just push the flap in and let it fall out. No, there'll be
talk
a way.
To me about flaps.
Just get to the flap.
My kitchen sink, when I try to use the hot water, it has all the force of an octogenarian with a bladder infection. It's non-existent.
Right.
And he also botched our central heating to the house. We haven't had central heating in this house since he finished the kitchen some 6 months ago, fortunately.
Well, he was aware of the cost of living crisis.
Oh, you're saying he's done me a favour?
Yeah, he saw that coming. He thought, I'll tell you what, I'll do these people a favour. I'll just fuck with his central heating up.
Fortunately, we haven't needed central heating because it's been so fucking hot all summer. So we've been okay, but now the winter months are creeping in. I'm going to need to finally bite the bullet and address the problem. So I got a plumber around to sort of say, could you ever look at the central heating? And he said, yeah, the thingy's fit on the wall. That's completely wrong because it's saying low battery. It shouldn't be running on battery. It should be connected to the mains. So right. That's an issue. And also I said, while you're here, mate, can you ever look at this hot water? And he basically said that anyone who had the first idea of construction or building, he wasn't talking about me, by the way, he was talking about my builder, he said, should never have installed the type of tap you've asked for, because this is a low pressure house, and that should be immediately obvious to anyone who knows what they're doing. So it's not that he's incorrectly installed the tap, but this tap was never, ever, ever going to work in this house.
Right.
He said, I can fix it by installing a pump under the sink, which will generate more power to it. And I said, well, how much will that cost? And he said, I can't be more specific. It will cost between £100 and £1,000.
Well, I mean, you've got to be a little bit more specific than that, surely.
And no, I've had this fact checked with someone else, and they said, yes, I know that sounds strange, but that is kind of true, unless you start, you know, doing the research it requires and getting quotes, it could cost as little as 100 or as much as 1,000.
Wow.
But I guarantee you, if it's something that's gone wrong in my house, it'll be the 1,000. It'll never be the 100.
Well,
bastards.
I don't know why you persisted with this builder. You knew he was dreadful.
I had COVID at the time. I had long COVID for the month of May. I wasn't in my right mind. And by the end of it, I just wanted him out of the house. I think I'd be within my rights to sort of say to him, come back and fix this fucking mess. But to be honest, Mrs. Ben has said she never wants him to set foot in the house again.
Okay, well that's a pretty clear message. Now, Ben, earlier we were talking about Churchill's Chart Challenge, which we're going to come back to before we wrap up this week.
Oh, good.
But we were just talking about old features on our radio show. Do you remember the other feature we used to do, which was not every week because you could never always find something, but we had the occasional feature of Noise of the Week?
Yeah, I vaguely remember this, yeah.
Where if I found a great noise, that would be the Noise of the Week. And I'd like to revive that feature for 1 week because these are Noises of the Week. There was a chat show, I think it was in France, where they gathered together a group of people who have the most bizarre laughs.
I saw this. It's brilliant.
That's my favourite.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, who laughs like that? Like a snort, I get. That's called me a real laugh.
Il vous a déjà mis dans des difficultés pas possible. Il vous a... Il y a la poule et la mouette qui s'y mettent, on est mal.
I think we have a clear favourite, don't we?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely the I don't even make that noise. So anyway, that's my noise of the week. What noise is it. Of the week? I mean, look, I can get a snort. Occasionally, I might snort when I laugh. But that sort of weird machine gun noise.
No, that was very strange. I always feel like embarrassed when I snort when I laugh.
Oh, no.
It does happen occasionally, but then it always makes me laugh a little bit extra because I was surprised by my snort.
It's like a little bonus, isn't it, when you snort? Do you ever do that thing where you're so out of breath from laughing that you end up doing that sort of weird sort of panting noise?
Yes, like, I know what you mean.
Sort of muttly in sexual ecstasy.
I did know somebody once who had a very unusual laugh. I'm not going to over egg the pudding here. He didn't have as unusual laugh as that one guy there in that clip. But he had such a distinctive laugh that he was actually ejected from a comedy club once.
Wow.
Because he started laughing because it was, the comedian was putting on a good show and it was a good set.
Yeah.
And then his laugh became the focus. And the audience then started laughing at his laugh, which made him laugh more, which made them laugh more. And it was just this sort of terrible cycle of laughing. And he was asked to leave because it got to the point where the comedian was sort of superfluous. He was just useless to the whole performance.
That's just unfair. He's at a comedy gig.
Yeah, I mean, of all the things, being kicked out of a comedy gig for laughing, it seems very cruel.
Very cruel. I mean, surely the comic should have been happy that his comedy is making such an impact on someone in the audience, but I suppose...
I don't think many comedians would appreciate their audience members being funnier than them, but...
No, I suppose not. Right, before we wrap up, do you fancy another Churchill's Chant Challenge?
Let's do it.
You gave them all those old-time stars. Through wars of worlds invaded by Mars. You made them laugh. You made them cry. You made us feel like we could fly.
Easy one.
Easy one. Again, is it Queen?
It is a Queen. This is a Queen song.
Can I hear it one more time?
Yeah, okay. Here we go.
You gave them all those old-time stars. Through wars of worlds invaded by Mars.
It's I Want to Break Free, isn't it?
You made them
laugh. No,
it's not. You made them cry. You made us feel like we could fly.
You made us feel like we could... I'm channeling Freddie here. Now, I've got to shake off the Churchill and try and get some Freddie going.
Yeah, I want to break free.
Are you saying it's not I Want to Break
Free? It's not I Want to Break Free, no.
Radio Gaga?
Radio Gaga, yes.
Oh, thank God for that. Because I have to get the occasional one right to prove I was ever worthy of being a DJ.
I'll do a couple more.
Interchanging mind control. Can't let the revolution take its toll. If you could flick a switch and open your third eye, you'd see that we should never be afraid to die.
I don't think we're going to get anything in this.
That's frustrating, because I do remember hearing this one.
Do you recognise it?
I recognise the Churchill's Chant Challenge clip.
Oh, you don't know the song?
I can't remember what the song is.
Didn't know it 10 years ago. Still don't know it.
I've learned nothing in a decade. What was it?
That is Muse, Uprising.
Oh, I was never going to get that.
All right, I'm going to finish on one that I think you'll get this. Easy. This is so easy, this one.
They're out to get you. There's demons closing in on every side. They will possess you unless you change the number on your dial. Now is the time for you and I to cuddle close together. Yeah.
I mean, it's chilling. I don't know. I honestly don't. Should I know that one?
Shouldn't know that easy.
Right, one last time and then put me out of my misery.
They're out to get you. There's demons closing in on every side. They will possess you unless you change the number on your dial. Now is the time for you and I to cuddle close together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, can I ask a sort of cryptic question?
Yeah.
Was that line delivered by a monologue or by the actual singer?
By the singer, I think, that one.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
I was going to... Oh, well, I don't know what it is then. I thought it was Vincent Price from Thriller, but I don't know.
Well, I'm going to put you out of your misery. It is Thriller.
Oh, well, I'll take the point then. I got Thriller.
But it's not the Vincent Price line.
Okay. Well, I'm still claiming the win. I identified it as Thriller.
No, that's fair enough. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, a couple of recommendations. What have you got for us this week, Ben?
I have the Netflix smash hit at the moment, which everyone is watching, so it's not much of a recommendation, but Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story.
Oh, yes. No, I've seen this. I've added it to my wish list or watch list, whatever they call it. It's, it looks good.
It is good. It's very well made. It's only, I think, 10 episodes long. They're so far all under an hour each. So you can binge it pretty quick, but it is quite disturbing.
Well, he was a very disturbed man.
He was indeed. But for anyone who thinks I don't want to watch a documentary or a series full of gory bits, you don't need to worry too much, but it is disturbing. He was a very deranged, evil bastard. Not nice. Maybe, again, I think a lot of my recommendations recently are sort of back burner recommendations for when maybe humanity's in a sort of better place and a bit happier and doesn't mind a bit of darkness.
Or we're in such a bad place that these dark things seem light.
I don't think the Jeffrey Dahmer story will ever seem light at all.
It's been quite controversial, isn't it, the Dahmer thing? A lot of sort of relatives of victims aren't particularly happy about it.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'll tell you what, I'll finish it off and then maybe you can tell me more about that. My second recommendation is, it's a bit obscure, it's a podcast. It's hosted by someone I'm a big fan of called Chad Kulchin, who is an American author, and he pops up on a couple of other podcasts, or I say pops up, that's rude. He actually co-hosts a couple of other podcasts that I'm quite a big fan of, namely the latter end of the 10-minute podcast and a current podcast with Will Sasso, who I also love, called Dudesy, the first ever podcast run by an artificial intelligence. But... Wow. The podcast I'd like to recommend today is called The Necessary Conversation, and it's basically him and his family who try to debate American politics together.
Okay.
Now, I don't know anything really about American politics, but you don't really need to. There are some bits where you might get a bit lost if you're not really sure the inner details of what they're talking about, but essentially that's not really the point. It's like family therapy through politics is how it describes itself.
Okay.
Because him and his sister are, I'd say, closer to where we are with our politics. His parents are sort of signed up MAGA Republicans.
Right, okay.
if they, you know, if Trump loses the next election, that's when the Civil War kicks in. That's when the bullets fly. You know, Trump's got a secret underground army ready to be unleashed. They are full on. And him, basically, it's got to the point where he has had periods of his life where his parents have refused to speak to him and his sister for months and months on end. There's been lots of bad blood. Conversations tend to end in screaming matches if politics is brought up. So he came up with the idea of, well, let's try and do this in podcast form.
Wow.
And try and sort of be civil. And it's a really interesting listen. His parents... They're definitely not my politics, but they have a certain mental charm to them.
Right, okay. Okay, well, I might give that one a go.
Good. What have you got?
Two things I'm going to recommend to you, both dramas. One's called The Capture, Series 2. It's all about sort of deep fakes.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's really good. I don't know if there's going to be a third series, but you probably need to go back. I mean, you probably don't need to necessarily have seen the first series, but it probably would help you get an idea, because there is a vague link to the two seasons.
Right. Okay, that sounds good.
And the other thing I'd recommend, it's on Sky, it's on the catch-up, called This England. I watched the first episode, and I wasn't convinced, and
right.
I wasn't going to persevere, but I thought, no, I'm going to carry it on. So I think it's six episodes, and it basically covers the pandemic in the UK and what goes on in government. Kenneth Branagh plays Boris Johnson.
Oh, is that what that was from? I saw Kenneth Branagh had done a Boris Johnson thing.
Yes.
I didn't know that was what it was. Okay.
And the first episode, I wasn't convinced by it. It was a bit sort of... You can kind of see the prosthetics on his face a little bit, and I wasn't convinced. But once I got past that, his impression is brilliant at times. But what is even better is just he's got all the mannerisms, like even his walk and the sort of hunched back. It is very good. There are some scenes that I had to fast forward through just because they're too sort of upsetting, really, because it's quite close to the bone, really, the whole COVID thing at times.
Right.
But I really actually enjoyed it, from being quite cynical about it, no, I'm not sure. Persevere with it, and I found it enjoyable. Is not the right word, because it's not really an enjoyable subject matter.
No, I get what you mean.
But
you can enjoy something without it being lovely at the same time, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think it's well worth a go.
Lovely.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Thanks very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.